Welcome into K-State Online. I am Mason Voth. That is Drew Galloway, and it is Tuesday, December 3rd, which means we are right here around 8 hours out from signing day officially being here, and then at some point early in the morning, guys will start filtering in with their signatures, and K-State will officially have guys that are in the class and that you don't have to worry about anymore with, or is something going to go wrong, or is K-State going to lose them? So that is all on the horizon. Drew and I will preview all of that in just a moment for you. But first, I know nobody wants to think about Iowa State as they get to have signing day and then also play in the Big 12 championship game. But K-State, they're going to get their crack at Iowa State, not their next time out, but the game after that. And with the holiday season upon us, this is your chance to give the gift of Ireland. Whether it's for yourself or the Wildcat fan in your life, an incredible trip to Ireland for the Aer Lingus College Football Classic is the perfect way to kick off the 2025 season. Enjoy all the sights, sounds, and excitement of Ireland while cheering on K-State in one of college football's most unique settings. Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime experience. Visit cats2ireland.com to learn more. That's cats, the number 2, ireland.com. So we will get ready to preview some of what is coming tomorrow with signing day. But first, a sad note to pass along. We found out this morning that former K-State OC Dana Dimmel passed away this morning. So unfortunate news there. And obviously, everybody wishing the best for the Dimmel family as Dana Dimmel has passed away. And look, I mean, he was the offensive coordinator when I was in school when I got to K-State. So that's significant timing. And certainly, I mean, that's he is going to be one of the more remembered offensive coordinators in K-State history, I think, whether it's for the good or the bad that comes with it. But by all accounts, was a good dude and obviously had a pretty lengthy football career where just recently he was the head coach at UTEP. And I want to note that I'm honoring him by wearing this, I think, belonged to him at one point. So it would have been sometime between 2017 and 2018 when he was no longer at K-State. My roommates and I, we used to go to Goodwill randomly, see what we could find. You know, sometimes you find somebody that, and I've learned this now as I've gotten older, and my wife and I just take random stuff to Goodwill. It's like, oh, we're just giving them some pretty nice stuff. You know, see what you can find. And I guess the Dimmels and their move to El Paso and not being at K-State anymore, like, well, let's offload some of this stuff at Goodwill. And so I didn't realize at the time. I was just like, oh, it's a pretty nice, like, Nike K-State pullover. That's like an instant buy for $7 or whatever at Goodwill. And it was probably after a couple of weeks I had it at home, and it was laying on my bed, and I looked at it, and there was a little label on the inside of the neck that said DD. And I was like, holy crap. I think this belonged to Dana Dimmel. It seems to be the right size because when I bought it, I was like, this is a little big, but I can't pass up on this opportunity. And then the DD, and I was like, who else is putting a label in there except for somebody that has to mass wash everything? So shout out to Dana Dimmel and his pullover, which I am donning currently in honor of him.
Yeah, he was also the offensive coordinator when I started school at K-State. And I saw a tweet earlier today, and it really just kind of put things in perspective with kind of how K-State could go about honoring him. It would be fun to see in the bowl game the clown car formation make a comeback.
I mean, or like I said earlier, hand it off to Will Swanson from the 44-yard line, the opponent's 44, because, there's a lot of things that you could do that people would go, that is very Dana Dimmel. So let's see what K-State has in store there. But unfortunate news, obviously, too soon, and something that everybody will be thinking about. And he had recently been spending time at Illinois helping out on their staff. So there's a lot of cross connections there. I saw Brad Underwood put out a tweet today where Underwood was talking about how they were student athletes at the same time at K-State. And then, obviously, they were both coaching here, and there was some crossover, and now both of them had been at Illinois this past year. So a lot of stuff going on there.
Treated unfairly by UTEP, too.
I would agree with that. Absolutely.
He is by far the best coach at UTEP in the last 30 years, probably.
Yeah, I mean, look, he took UTEP to a bowl game a couple of years ago. You know, they'd been winning a handful. Very much unfairly treated. So we'll see what other kind of eulogies are put out there later on today to remember Dana Dimel. So sad news today. Now, in terms of what we've got going on tomorrow, signing day, we're going to have a full show for everybody to kind of go over every player in the class for K-State, discuss some of the notable happenings with everything that has gone on. But with just a few hours before we cross into December 4th and that day, we wanted to kind of set a preview here and take a look at some of the things that might be coming. And I think the number one thing that we have to start with talking about, Drew, as much as people probably don't want to, and DY and I already talked about it yesterday, is going to be Lincoln Cure and where that situation is. As it currently stands, 3:53 p.m. on Tuesday, December 3rd, he is still verbally committed to K-State. There has not been, to my knowledge, any indication officially that he is not going to be a member of K-State's 2025 recruiting class. However, there are a lot of unofficial cues that seem like they maybe have happened to make you think it's a whole lot less likely that he's a member of this class. So we sit here now. What do you think and make of the Lincoln Cure situation?
This is going to sound like I'm riding the fence so hard. This is like, I have absolutely no idea. And to be honest with you, I don't think that anybody really knows with beyond shadow of a doubt. I think that there are things that make you think that it could be Oregon because he was so adamant about taking this visit. And even some of the quotes post-visit with Steve Wolfong and it was actually Lincoln's dad, with some of the quotes in there that kind of make you kind of think that it could be Oregon. There was the quote with Landon Reinhart yesterday saying, "I'm a Wildcat, but anything can happen." So there's that. But then there's also the fact that the further out that this kind of gets from the visit, the closer that we get to signing day, it kind of makes you think that K-State could really, I don't want to say pulls a stunner, because they are essentially would be just keeping the guy in their recruiting class. But with how much momentum that it seemed like Oregon had post-visit, it would kind of be pulling a stunner. I mean, I told you before we started recording that the latest that I had kind of heard was a few hours ago that it didn't even really seem like that Lincoln knows what he's going to do yet. So you kind of get into that, and with him setting a deadline for tomorrow for himself, because that's the other thing, is that he could just wait until February, but he wants to sign tomorrow. The closer that it gets and the murkier that it gets, I wonder if it leads to him sticking with K-State.
Yeah, that would be the vibe that I would go with, is that it would have seemed that the better chance of it being Oregon would be that he takes the visit, he gets back, he has some time to think about it, and then Sunday night or sometime yesterday on Monday, he makes the announcement, "Hey, I am decommitting from K-State." That would be the, I think, traditional way that this thing plays out. I mean, there are some times that the guys just randomly announce that, "Hey, I was committed here, now I'm committed here." The best example would be Jaden Woods recently of Mill Valley, who just, you know, everybody, it seemed like, hey, done deal, Penn State, it was all going to happen. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, you get the graphic post, and it's like, "Oh, I'm committed to Florida now." And it's like, "Oh, great, that's an RPM prediction that's going to be dinged against me now for the rest of my life. Shoot." But in reality, it was just, you know, that one of those you didn't have any indication for. You think about some of the other guys at K-State has flipped during this process, where, you know, they'll make their decommitment and then it'll happen, and K-State is the choice. Like, it's just the natural process that this stuff takes typically. And I think that in Cure's situation, you know, you make the commitment on July 1st, you've made it all the way to this point, and I kind of thought that once this visit was happening, this was always going to be the conundrum for him. It was always going to come down to, he's really going to have to think hard about, is it this place that I feel like I have this special connection to? That, I mean, obviously he talked about when he committed to K-State about, you know, the emotional moment in the stadium and going there and sitting in the seats and everything that plays in that. He also has, I mean, you can see how the red carpet has been rolled out for, or probably the lavender carpet has been rolled out for Avery Johnson over the last two seasons now. And Lincoln Cure can realize that is also going to be for me. I'm going to be in that same echelon of recruit and looked at in the same way. And I'm going to have all these different things, all these different kids across Kansas that want to be Lincoln Cure. And then on the other side, you have the Oregon aspect that is, they're the number one team in the country right now. They have looked far and away like the best team in the country this season, could really win the national championship. And as I will repeatedly say to people, for anybody that I think was probably born from 1996 or 97 all the way up until probably about 2005, you look at Oregon and think, man, that is the coolest team that I can remember in my childhood. Because if I wasn't playing as K-State on the PlayStation, I was playing with Oregon. And it's because of the uniforms and the style that they played and everything. And so you have that draw that plays into it as well. And it's always good to remember for people that are taking this stuff in. Most of us that are following K-State on a regular basis, it's probably because we went there. And we probably went there because we grew up in K-State families or in the area, and we were like, I want to go to school at Kansas State. I want to do this. But for me, Manhattan was 2 hours from home, and I thought 2 hours was enough, you know? But for some, 2 hours, and in the case of Lincoln Cure, it's more than 2 hours, but still being in the same state is either old news, like he's like, 18 years in Kansas, been there, done that. Maybe it's too close. You get the opportunity to kind of explore. And not only do you get to go to a different location that you've never really spent much of your life with, it's also at a place that is one of the number one powers in college football right now. So there are a lot of things that weigh one way or the other. And it's been very clear in this recruitment from the beginning that there are two very different sides to how this might play out for him. Just because we know where K-State sits in the pecking order of college football, and we know where Oregon sits in the pecking order of college football. But I'm with you. The longer this thing draws out, it's probably a good sign for K-State because, again, we still don't have an indication one way or the other that he isn't going to follow through with his commitment to K-State. And I think the closer we get to signing day tomorrow, the harder it's going to be for him in this, you know, split-second decision to look at it and say, okay, I'm going to have to go back on what I already did and go with this. So, I mean, I know that a lot of it seems to be trending for Oregon. And look, Sunday night into even yesterday, there are still a lot of things to me that indicated that it was probably going to be Oregon. But as we get to this point now, it's much murkier. And I think it's back to being a true 50-50 as opposed to, I would have said on Sunday night, Monday afternoon, it was probably like 60-40, 70-30 that Oregon was going to win out in this thing. But now, it's a real coin toss.
Yeah, it's really fascinating. And like, this is full transparency. You get to really see that we're kind of on the fence here when I say this. We have a crap load of things that are coming out tomorrow with signing day. When I talk about the full class and kind of talk about and do a little bit of a rundown and some of the articles that we have ready to roll for tomorrow, I have paragraphs that say, if Lincoln stays, if Lincoln goes, and that's just kind of how it is right now, because I think that everybody thinks that it's so tight and everybody's kind of hearing different things, and it's just very murky. And when you kind of read between the lines, that kind of makes me feel a little bit better about K-State's chances, but I can't say that with beyond shadow of a doubt. Hell, I have a pick right now on three on the RPM of Lincoln potentially flipping to Oregon, because I think that it's a possibility, but I also think that it's just as equal of a possibility that he stays with K-State. So long story short here, we kind of don't really have a clue, and I don't really know if he does. And I think that's what makes this one of the more fascinating things in a signing day, not just with K-State, but I think just overall. And this is where if Lincoln was committed to a lot of other schools and was torn between that school and Oregon, like if it was like Alabama, for example, this would be getting a lot more national coverage of like, this guy has no idea where he's going right now, like 24 hours before signing day. But right now it's like, okay, since it's K-State and Oregon, everybody just assumes that it's going to be Oregon. But I'll push back a little bit on that and say that I think K-State has a lot better of a chance than people are really giving them credit for.
Yeah, I think this kind of just goes back to probably where things sat at the end of June going into July, when most of the people were, you know, that weren't in this area gave it the old hearty har har har. Yeah, Oregon's going to lose out on a five-star recruit to K-State. Ha ha, yeah, good luck. But I think like that's where this is trending again, is that the decisions are real there, and they're neither to me is the wrong decision for Lincoln Cure. I think that's the one thing that should be remembered in all this. I do think that you're wrong if you think that either one of these moves is the wrong thing for Lincoln Cure. Now, the way that he goes about this process, whether it is that he ends up choosing K-State or he ends up choosing Oregon, that can be debated, and I think that would be fair game in this, as long as it's done in a civil manner. But if Lincoln Cure stays with K-State, Oregon people, the national people should realize it's not a wrong move for him. And then if he decides, I'm not going to stay in the state of Kansas, I'm going to go play for Oregon, people in the state and around K-State should be able to realize that's not a stupid move either, because Oregon's done a pretty good job of, you know, developing guys and making them good football players too. So it's going to be interesting. It's going to be the number one thing that we watch for throughout tomorrow. And I don't know, we'll see maybe if there's news tonight that even comes out about it. But I don't think anybody knows, and I don't think Lincoln Cure at this moment probably knows. But that's enough on that, because there's going to be plenty of rehashing about that come tomorrow as well. So outside of Lincoln Cure, you talked about, hey, if Lincoln commits, if he doesn't, you have those kind of sentences. One of the guys that is going to have that tag in a big way is Noah King, because if Lincoln Cure flips to Oregon, Noah King then becomes the highest rated recruit in this class. And we're still trying to get Noah King to come on with us some point this week. So we'll try and have that. We've got a handful of guys that we'll have either tomorrow on our signing day show or in the hours afterwards. RJ Collins, Dylan Duff, guys like that will be joining us. But Noah King could be the highest rated recruit in this class. And if he's not, he does become one of the higher rated defensive players in recent memory to commit to K-State.
Yeah, Noah King will either be the number one recruit or the number two recruit in this class. And I think that, again, is where we're really seeing K-State really start to flex their muscle a little bit as evaluators, because when King committed, he was not a four-star in the On3Industry ranking. And as his senior season progressed, and now here we sit probably 8 hours before you can officially start to sign if you really want. And he is an On3Industry ranked four-star prospect. And like you said, one of the best defensive recruits that K-State has gotten in the Chris Klieman era. So to be able to cross the finish line with Noah King is a big deal. And really with all these guys, you look at K-State's class right now, and we know that there are a few more names that are also out there. So if K-State can keep Lincoln Cure, this class could be ranked in the top 40 pretty easily. I think right now it's sitting at number 40 as we're talking right now, and it could get up to 38, 37, and potentially up to fourth in the Big 12. And we're seeing that this is probably going to be the best rated class in the Chris Klieman era, which is really, really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going through right now. I'm trying to see if I can find the last defensive player that would be ranked this high as Noah King is, but
potentially.
And so I'm looking here basically how that would end up working out. So even Asa and the way that it goes with the way that the actual ranking, like Noah King's higher than that now. So it's a distance that has to be traveled. I'll try and find it before the show concludes. So Noah King is notable to follow along with, see how this goes. Lincoln Cure, though, also has a connection in a way to a couple of other guys that we're watching for tomorrow, because these players will be signing tomorrow, and one is not committed anywhere. That's Larry Porter. And then K-State also gunning for an offensive lineman out of the state of Georgia that's currently committed to James Madison, but it seems like the Cats might be the front runner. So update us on those situations as we head into signing day.
Yeah, so Larry Porter is announcing at his high school tomorrow. It's between K-State and KU. Initially, there was a lot of really good buzz about K-State leading up to his official visit, post his official visit. And then you kind of got that same vibe after you visited KU, coming from the camp out of Lawrence, and how KU was really turning in the right, in the direction there. But the latest chatter is when that K-State is really looking good and will most likely be the pick tomorrow. I don't think that either one really knows without a shadow of a doubt yet. But you look at that and you think, okay, that's another name that you can add. And that's a guy that probably should have won the best wide receiver in the Kansas City Metro area award last night. I don't know how he didn't win it when he had the best, or he had the most catches in the state and the sixth most yards in the country as a wide receiver this season. But, you know, what are you going to do there? And then Dylan Villarreal, an offensive lineman from Georgia, committed to James Madison. His recruitment has been honestly extremely quiet. K-State offered him back in November, got him on campus for an official visit, I believe for the Arizona State game. And then really after that, it kind of went quiet. And then last week, and he was at James Madison. But the way that you keep hearing things, it sounds more like K-State recently than that he will stick with James Madison. So we'll see on those two fronts, because other than Lincoln Cure, those are probably the two names that will come across tomorrow that I'm really looking forward to seeing the most, because I think that that's the one. Those are the ones that are kind of up in the air, and unless there is a different surprise from somewhere else, that those are probably like the signing day surprises.
All right, real quick, circle back to Noah King. I have it for you here. So Noah King's current industry ranking is 89.87. That would be the first defensive player since 2015 to hit 89 or higher in the industry ranking. And again, On3 wasn't around then, so it was only three services that were being compiled. That was Duke Shelley in the 2015 class at 89.01. But to get to a player that had a higher industry ranking than Noah King currently has on the defensive side of the ball in a recruiting class, you have to go back to 2013. Do you have any guess on who it could be in 2013?
Oh, 2013.
Hint, it's a guy that never did anything at K-State, or probably anywhere for that matter.
Is this a Terrell Klingscales situation?
I could be. Would it help you if I gave you the state that the player was from?
Yeah, that would help.
It was the number two player in the state of Missouri.
Oh, I think I know who this is, but I can't remember the name like off the top of my head. I can see him more than anything else.
It was Nick Ramirez. Oh, so there you go. Here's to hoping that Noah King's career is a lot more like Duke Shelley's than Nick Ramirez's. So, yeah, there you go. That's the book there on the history that Noah King will have attached to him tomorrow when he signs with K-State. So outside of the guys that we've talked about and maybe some of the surprises that could come into play, what are some of the other things that you're keeping an eye on for signing day and when we talk a little bit more about it tomorrow?
I think that it's a weird thing to me, but I always get really excited about like who the first one in the class is that signs. I always think that that's kind of fun, especially just with, it's not always a guy in Eastern time. So there's kind of a myth that the Eastern time guys have the advantage, but really there's been some years that it's a Central Time guy, and yeah, you never know. So I'm excited about that. Excited to see what the graphics that come out with it are, because let's be honest, like, those are some of like the most fun things that they do. The sauces was really good. The Legos were elite. So kind of like building on the momentum from that. And then player wise, I think I'm just excited and kind of just ready to see all the names come across, because then we can start asking questions about them, and we'll hear from Coach Kleiman tomorrow, I believe at 1 o'clock, just about the class as a whole. So excited to hear about that and to really hear from the coaches directly about like everything that has gone on.
Yeah, that will be the thing to watch out for come to tomorrow, is what Chris Kleiman has to say about everybody. And if you get a lot of good insight, I think, from that press conference, and it'll be fun to just see them all trickle in, and everybody gets their little moment with it. And everybody will be waiting patiently until right around the middle of the afternoon, when Lincoln Cure should be signing, and we'll see if anything in the build up to that happens. 12:30 tomorrow is when he will be signing his letter of intent at Goodland High School. So the public is welcome to attend. The Goodland High put that out today. We'll see what the public looks like for that event versus the event in July. But that's the number one thing to watch out for. A couple of other things real quick before we get out of here on the recruiting front. The transfer portal is 6 days away from opening up. We already seem to maybe have some ideas of who K-State might go after. As assumed, Casey Concepcion from NC State is going to be transferring, it would appear. And, I mean, pretty quickly last night, our own Pete Nakos put out some of the options or likely suitors for Concepcion that are going to get serious looks. Colorado, Alabama, Auburn, Penn State, and K-State. And you think to yourself, okay, if those four schools are in the battle, why would he maybe think K-State? Well, as we know, his brother Arian is going to be a part of this class come tomorrow as well. What do you think of K-State's chances of getting the dynamic Casey Concepcion?
I think that there's a legitimate shot, and K-State's going to get a look, and it does help having his brother in the 2025 class, but I think that there is going to be a lot of smoke that comes from that. And I would anticipate K-State probably getting a visit from Casey. And the nice thing is that, you know, his brother has already been in Manhattan and can really kind of give him the lowdown on everything that's going on in Manhattan and what he saw on his visit, and his parents have already been in Manhattan too. And I think that will probably play a little bit of a factor, because you kind of look at that list of schools. If they want to go see both of their kids play, there's really only one place that they can do that now.
Great call.
I mean, I guess theoretically you could say Colorado, because they're at least in the same conference, but it makes a lot more sense if they want to see them both play that they end up both coming to K-State. But I think that it's definitely a chance. And I think that I'm going to call him Nunu is one of my favorite nicknames of the guys in the 2025 class.
Okay. I like that. I can get on board with it. Look, you got a good name aside from your legal first name. You will get it. I'm looking at you, Strap Thomas. Can't wait to see you on the field next year. So that is one to keep in mind in the portal. And then a couple of the others to probably watch out for. We talked yesterday just between ourselves. North Dakota State has an All-American safety in Cole Wisniewski, who has entered the transfer portal. 194 career tackles and 8 interceptions. And this is brought up because this guy kind of fits the prime profile of a K-State transfer safety, at least ones that have worked out under Chris Kleiman, because I think we all remember Marquis Siegel, who has been a productive member of the secondary the last 2 years. But then you can go back even further than that and take a look around and realize that Josh Hayes started his career at North Dakota State before ending up bumping to the next level. So this is something to keep in mind for K-State as an option at safety from North Dakota State, because the Wildcats are going to be in a position where they lose two of their starting safeties for most of the season going into next year.
Yeah, don't forget that one of Chris Kleiman's sons is also on the staff at North Dakota State. I bet that he knows a pretty good bit about if he could be good at the Big 12 level, because his son was a GA at K-State, knows what it takes to play at K-State and play at the Big 12 level, and saw him play now at North Dakota State. So, and I believe that Gene Taylor's son is also part of the North Dakota State staff. So they got a hell of a scouting report on if they would want him or not.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. So that's one to keep in mind. And then there are some other options to look out there for. Reason to believe that K-State might be looking at a transfer from, or a couple of transfers from Tulsa that we know of already. One of them being we just saw the announcement that he has an offer from K-State. And it's good to remember here when talking about Tulsa is that some of their players, I don't know if they've filled out the proper paperwork or anything to make it happen, but they can already be in the portal because Tulsa fired their head coach. So that instantly triggered the window where their guys could go into the transfer portal. But one of them that it seems like K-State's going to have heavy interest in is going to be Joseph Williams, who was a freshman this year at Tulsa. 30 catches, 588 yards, 5 touchdowns. So we know K-State is probably going to be looking all over for receivers. That's obvious. We've already talked about Casey Concepcion. But this is another one that's going to be very intriguing to watch for.
Yeah, Williams is a really, really fun player to watch. Big receiver, can really go up and get it. Makes good contested catches. This is the world that we're living in. It makes just zero sense. He was named American Athletic Conference Freshman of the Year. Literally
5 hours ago.
Yeah, literally 5 hours ago. And he entered the portal, I think, 4 hours ago. So that's just the world that we're living in.
Good businessman is what that is.
But he is a fun watch. And I think that he's going to end up having a lot of suitors. I believe another notable team that has already offered him is Utah. So could be a fun battle between Big 12 schools.
Yeah, well, here's the one thing I know about Utah. They don't know how to play offense. And then I'm sure some of you are joking, well, neither does K-State over the last four games. But they sure know how to play it a lot better than what Utah showed. And it is official now. He is in the portal. So the offers are rolling in. Fast and furious, Ole Miss, Utah, K-State, and Cal are the notable Power Four offers that have already come in there. So there's going to be a lot more of this over the next couple of days. So we'll have that covered, especially after signing day moves on. And then obviously next Monday when the portal officially opens up, but that will do it for us today. A good way to preview everything. And then sometime tomorrow afternoon, I believe we're shooting, did I tell you 3 o'clock?
Yeah. I believe it's on YouTube live from what okay. I understand.
Yep. 3 o'clock, 3 o'clock live tomorrow on the KSO YouTube. Drew and I will have our recruiting day show. And if you're watching live, you can throw some questions in there at us. And then obviously if you're not able to watch or listen live, you can play it back later on in the day and then also catch up with it on the podcast feed as well. So a lot of ways to take in signing day tomorrow at KSO, and really the best place, not even just right here, is by going over to On3 and finding KSO. And if you're not a member right now, I think it was supposed to end yesterday, but I've seen the national guys still posting about it. So that would lead me to believe that you can still do it. But you can get your first 7 days for just $1. And I would tell you that this is probably the best bang for your buck week that you can do it. And so if you're not a part of K-State Online or the On3 community, perfect time to do it. Go over to KSO, find us at On3, hit the join button, and you'll have the option right there. And then you decide you like it. Guess what? It's only like $12 a month after that. Think of all the different things in your life that are $12 that you spend on every month and that you probably don't need those anymore and that you can just, you know, spend it here.
You can probably cut back on a Chipotle bowl a month.
Yeah, I was going to say one less, you know, one less parlay each month, but there you go. Well, and also I would, you know, if you're somebody that goes to all the home games, I would just spin it to your wife and be like, well, look, we're not paying for gas anymore to go to and from Manhattan on game weekends. So it's a lot of money freeing up in the budget as we hit December, people. Just remember that. And also remember that it'd probably make a good Christmas gift to, like, your poor college student kid and, you know, see what they want. I know my brother, like, wanted to be knowing what's going on. I was like, dude, just pay $12 to be on the site. And he was like, well, I don't really want to spend the money on that right now. I'm like, okay, I get it. You know, your bank account probably says 874 in it, and that's not with a decimal in between the 8, after the 874. It's in between the 8 and the 7. But, you know, that's how it goes. So for those of you that aren't poor, on 3, KSO, it's a spot for you. And even if you are, it's the most valuable $12 you'll ever spend in your life. I guarantee it. At least if you want to know what's going on with the Cats. And if you don't, if you want to have some blissful ignorance and just think everything's good, that's perfect for you. A lot of people that want to get their opinions voiced, and you can do that with the biggest group of K-State fans over at kstateonline.com. Drawing it all together there, ending it on a positive, Drew. We will be back tomorrow, 3 o'clock, and we will have Drew breaking down every single commitment in the class. We are also going to have at least one player for tomorrow's show, RJ Collins. We're talking to him later tonight, so we'll play that then. Trying to still lock down our time with Noah King, and then a couple of other members of this class we'll have coming up either tomorrow night or on Thursday for everybody. So a lot of fun stuff happening on the eve of signing day. We look forward to it tomorrow at K-State Online.